Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning, spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs. We have babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess of a show, and joining me as always, my dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. Fresh off that Monday night. What a game. I loved it. I loved every bit of it, except when the Patriots were coming back. 33-14, guys. The 8.5-point favorite Pats go down on the money line to the I didn't get anything right about that game. I said, all right, if the Patriots don't win, at least it'll go under. Not even close. Martin, what was your pick of the day? You come and make a video, right, every week.
For, yeah, I had Montgomery under rushing yards because silly me thinking that Bill Belichick would do what he's done the past, I don't know, 25 years of his coaching career and eliminate what teams do well. The Bears run the ball. That's all I could do. Justin Fields has less pass completions than I do on the season. And it's just, you know, they're like, whatever. It's okay. You go ahead. Run the ball 200 yards down our throat. It's all good.
And a lot of that was Justin Fields himself running check. And he's all of a sudden gone from, does this guy belong in the league, to, all right, he looks as good as many of the quarterbacks out there, plus with the running advantage, right?
Yeah, my bigger takeaway is that, I hear your noise on the Bears. It feels to me like the remainder of this season is about evaluating Justin Fields for the Bears. The bigger takeaway for me is, man, I know in the week, it's a week-to-week league, and then we overreact to whatever we see, but didn't we all sign off on that the Patriots and Belichick were back in the right direction now?
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do with this now? Are they where I had a hunch they might wind up this season, which is in last place in the AFC East? I mean, are they, despite all the Jets' injuries, are the Jets actually going to get past the Patriots by the end of the by the end of the season?
It's so funny. I saw yesterday morning before the game, they were plus 170 to make the playoffs on Caesars. Like, wow, I think that's good. I think they get to 9, mm-hmm. and 9 is good enough in the AFC, certainly in the NFC. I think that'll be good enough. And then they put up lay an egg last night. And yeah, you're right. They have a quarterback problem, I think, now. They have a standings problem, too. You're right. They're in last place all along in the AFC East. Is it an easy call, Sheck, between Zappy Hour and Mac Jones? Because, you know, you listen to, like, Aikman after the game and SVP. They're like, oh, no, Mac Jones will be back next week. But I don't know. The Coach Belichick's second-guessing himself, that's for sure.
Well, you know, they say money plays, but it feels like draft slot is what plays in this league. And so you get a longer rope if you're a first round pick and a high one at that. But it feels to me like Belichick has never cared about that. So, what commitment has he made to Mac Jones that requires Mac? Mm-hmm. It's another one when it feels like everybody in Patriots Nation, for what that matters, what the fans want is one thing. What Belichick wants, it feels like he wants Bailey Zappi to win the gig, so just put him in there, right?
There are talks about platooning, right? And there are very few situations where you could see it working.
I told you.
You might want to try it. It gets fans crazy, though. You think about your Steelers fans, Shaq, how nuts they are about putting one in over the other. Imagine, you know, possession to possession trying to figure it out. Martin, are you a platoon guy?
No. Like, they already have platoon offensive coordinators. Nobody knows who's doing what. And it all, like, up to, like, starting quarterback at this point. Like, I don't understand. I'm not saying that Mac Jones should have just automatically lost his job. But if there's any question about being healthy, like, we're, like, racing to clear Mac Jones before the game. Like, he's Aaron Rodgers or something. Like Bailey Zappi just won the last two games he started by over 20 points. Doesn't happen often in the NFL. I think the only other team this year to win back-to-back games by over 20 points is the Jaguars. So that just goes to show you it doesn't happen for very often. Even some of these great teams, they're not winning by over 20 points. Bailey Zappi did that, and Mac Jones hadn't looked good. And ultimately, you knew you were going to pull him in the first place because as soon as he did anything wrong, you took it right out of the game. So if that was the plan, then the plan should have been to start Bailey Zappi the whole time.
Yeah, I think so. Well, they screwed up. I mean, he admitted he screwed up. He put him in, left him into where, oh, he, you know, he accepted that Mac Jones was healthy. I don't think it was. Yeah, it wasn't a straight pull. Like, you don't got it today, kid. You're coming out. I don't care how healthy you are. But I love that it creates chaos for this Patriots team.
I do too. But don't you guys think, though, Marty is like the old curmudgeon in this equation here. And I feel, Sal, like you're on Marty's side more than mine. Who, I mean, Sean Payton is hailed as one of the great offensive wizards of the millennium, right? Well, mm-hmm. he platooned his first ballot Hall of Famer, Drew Brees, with Taysom Hill. Mike and Tomlin is going to wind up in the Hall of
success?
Fame. Too.
To what level of success did he do have running a tight end at quarterback?
I mean, but think about it. Think about it this way. Don't, if it's the same guy, which is what people do, which is a weird observation to make, as though Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones play the same brand of ball. They don't, obviously. But don't you like that change of pace? Wouldn't that spook you? If you think of, if you're the defensive coordinator, like, I don't know who's going to be against us this time. This is going, but it definitely dictates the personnel we want out there to stop them. If it's Mac Jones versus Bailey Zappe.
But the Saints, it makes more sense, right? Because Taysom Hill offers a different dimension that that Drew Brees didn't, right? He could take off with the ball and more gadget plays available. Is Mac Jones such a running quarterback that there's such a distinction between the two?
Yeah, or Zappe's a runner. I think the bottom line is, though, we can debate the specifics of the specific issue in New England, though, is neither guy is great. That's the bottom line.
I love it. I love it. You know what? You had all the riches for many, many years. You never had to worry about quarterback, and now you do. But it's tough to thread that needle, to Martin's point. And without, if you have one offensive coordinator, if you have two offensive coordinators and two quarterbacks, you're really splitting your chances of succeeding here. But Patriots, I thought that was an automatic win against the Jets next week. We'll talk about it more Thursday.
I thought this was an automatic win. Now I got blown out of my survivor's pool. There was like 300 people left. And then on a week in which the Patriots, on a week the Buccaneers lost, the Packers lost. I mean, I could see it in my mind that I was going to be one of 20 people left on Monday night. And I was sitting there between the Raiders and the Patriots. And there you go.
Listen, we talked about it. I don't want to brag about my pup of the week because it was only one that won. Shame on you guys. Sheck, you had the Steelers close. Martin, Lions, pathetic. We'll talk about that in a second. But we targeted the 5 to 7 point favorites. I was about six or seven of them. Like, I bet three win. Who took care of business? Green Bay lost to Washington. They were in that range. Last night, for sure. Was that it? Oh, and then Seattle over the Chargers. So there are pups to be had, and the favorites, it was like, there's a terrible, it's like favorites of 8 points or more are now hitting at like a 30% clip for the year. So keep that in mind.
I'm already looking forward to hearing what you guys think about the Bills giving 11.5 to Aaron Rodgers. And I'm inclined to take Buffalo if I have to choose in this moment, which nobody said I did, but I think I would take the Bills in this particular moment. Give me a few days to meditate.
Yeah, I got to think about this because Rodgers has bit us in the ass a few times with this. It wasn't 11.5 for sure, because he hasn't really been a double-digit dog, I don't think, if I read that trend correctly. But he did go into Arizona last year on a Thursday night. No one had them. They had no offensive line, no nothing, and they won. I know it's a different story, but Arizona was undefeated. It was all the buzz was with the Cardinals, and he does have a way of turning his season around. Just like this. Hey, we talked about the Bailey Zappe and this Mac Jones. There were $6,000 or more bets placed on Bailey Zappe on Caesars to win Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, during the first half of the Bears-Patriots game. Pats fans, Pats bettors had seen enough. When Zappe came back in, there was a $3,000 bet at 16-1, a $2,000 bet at 25-1, and he entered the game at 50-1. Now he's down to plus 650. I don't even know how much of the snaps he's going to take. That can't be. That's not a winner, right? Offensive Rookie of the Year when you got Kenneth Walker in there?
First, I mean, his best shot. I mean, he had it. If the game ended at halftime, he'd be close to the favorite, even with Kenneth Walker. But that second
half. If the season ended at halftime? Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk more Caesars now. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, so let's go around the NFL here. Speaking of quarterbacks being benched, was Matt Ryan benched for Sam Ehlinger, or was there a shoulder injury, Sheck? I heard like conflicting things. Or are they making sure that they tank it and get one of the good quarterbacks this year?
Seems to me that Frank Reich has laid bare that it is not a shoulder injury. It's just that they don't think Matt Ryan's good anymore. It's funny when you watched, I mean, it's been pretty consistent this season. He's only 40, and obviously Tom Brady has changed assumptions about how far you can take your career as a QB, but it really did. You think about that game in Denver, Matt Ryan just flat out looked like, man, this is too much of an effort for you to throw a 15-yard out, man. And that's what it seems like they're saying. Like, he just doesn't have it anymore. Doesn't have.
But he was okay
the
week before.
Anymore.
He was down double digits to the Jaguars, this stupid division. I get it, because now they've lost twice to Tennessee and they could never beat them anyway, so they're probably not going to catch him in the division. But I don't know. I might be against everybody thinking they pulled the plug a little bit early, Martin.
I think, honestly, if when you look at this organization from Andrew Luck to now, I feel like this is not a Frank Reich thing. This comes from somewhere above. And it's like, yo, I'm sick of you trading all of these picks for all of these quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, who don't work. We're done with this now. Like, you drafted some of these guys. Let's see if they can play, because we need to get a quarterback. And obviously, you don't have your whole being able to scout the league and try to pick a guy is terrible. So I really think it has something to do along the lines of that. You're right. Like, Matt Ryan is not like, is he the reason? He's not the reason they're winning nor losing. Like, he's just fine. But when they come out with the shoulder injury and then say, no, he's not coming back after rehab. He's third string right now. Essentially, he's the practice squad quarterback when he comes back. This guy's the former MVP. Like, this, essentially, they cut him.
Yeah. Am I crazy? They have a first-round pick this year, right? Check. The Colts? I think they do.
Colts yeah, didn't deal away their first-round pick.
For 2023, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a three for one. Yeah, of course it wasn't. Yeah. They want to be in the mix, right? For one of the top three or four quarterbacks here in this draft.
I guess so. And we're at this weird place. And, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, it remains a fascinating adjustment in pro football to those of us who've been following it for, you know, 4 or 5 decades now, is this new thing of like that you completely can change your fortunes by making a big time trade for better or worse. You can basically, if you want to get into tanking mode, you can by dealing away. I mean, you know, we're starting to see that. And then there are the Colts kind of and the Steelers kind of, these teams that, you know, are trying to, as I keep repeating, trying to change the fuel while the plane's in the air, and it isn't working so far. What we need is, Eddie Spaghetti has his theory that the teams that can run the ball are the ones that are proving successful so far in this football season.
Martin Weiss said that too on the last episode of Extra Points.
Well,
was that you who said that first? Okay.
I mean, so I'm not trying to step on Eddie, but I've heard it before.
Okay. The Raiders
have 2 wins. And I was like, how does that happen? Josh Jacobs is the best running back I've seen in a couple of years now. So
what's the through line to winning games in 2022? It just seems like, and we can try and assess it and make our best, provide our best thoughts to it. But it just, I got to say, it really does, and I'm letting myself off the hook by saying it. It really does feel like it comes down to just, let's flip a coin and see what comes up, and that'll work just as well as anything else. Based on what we've seen so far, save the Chiefs. I was down on them. I was wrong about them. They're the only and the Bills. I mean, like, we knew that was coming. They've both been good. Otherwise, like, what the hell? What the hell is going on in the NFL right now?
Caesars has a, now it's up to -125. I wonder if either of you guys would take this, but I like this, that the champion, you could have the Bills, you could have the Chiefs, you could have the Eagles, or you could have the whole rest of the league, 29 teams. Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, -125. You want the rest. I think it's about even. Martin? You taking the three-headed monster or the 29?
I think I'd have to take the 29, because just off the off chance that Kansas City, because like with that, you're thinking Kansas City and Buffalo are definitely making the AFC Championship game. If one of those people falter, then you don't think so?
Not they don't necessarily have to play each other. You're saying one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying that Buffalo and Kansas City both have to make the AFC Championship game. Like, what happens if one of them drop a week 17, 15 game or something like that and end up not being seeded appropriately and end up having to play each other in the divisional round like the year before? Like, Buffalo lost, like, or one of that, I could see that happening, and one of them, they knock each other out prior to the Super Bowl.
No, you just need one of them to make the Super Bowl, and then you're still getting good odds on a team that's probably going to be favored. If you have the Bills in the Super Bowl and you bet -125 from the beginning of the year, you're going to be in good shape. They'll probably, as it is now, lay 3 or 4 points. If they're playing the Eagles, you're golden. I take the three.
In the chaos, in the clouded chaos, can you see something through a beacon of light at the end? When you talk about the AFC, Chiefs, Bills, and then the two good teams in the AFC North. But, you know, I feel like the Bills are going to catch either the Ravens or Bungles, and then the Chiefs are going to catch the other side of that, and neither one is a good matchup. So saying that I'm going to bet on the Bills or Chiefs to definitely get to the Super Bowl feels like a reach. I do think in the mini eras of head-to-head matchups, the Bengals do kind of have the Chiefs number, right?
Bengals are going to be tough. They have a quarterback. We could talk about Eddie and Martin's theory about running the ball, but the Bengals are the one team with a quarterback who could complete passes 12 yards down the field. And he had 3 touchdowns of such the other day. It's incredible to watch, but you don't see, you're watching Red Zone, you're not going to see long bombs away touchdown passes much these days, unless Joe Burrow is on the throwing end.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're just what they always talk about, because they romanticize it by saying like this team gets hot at the right time and everything else. But it is kind of that we're just riding the waves of who looks good for 3 weeks at a time and try. I guess that's the best thing we can do in the middle part of the season here is just ride these waves of the teams that are breaking right now. And the Bengals, if you look at what they have upcoming, they seem like a favorable bet to kind of ride to just win straight up for the next few weeks through their bye.
Yeah, it's so funny. They didn't look necessarily great against the Saints, but they needed that game to turn things around. Then they beat the Falcons, who at least covered every single game, you know, and were kind of plucky towards the rest of the teams. But yes, in that AFC North, every win is going to count, and every one better win every game outside of division you can. I did want to ask you guys, whose legacy do you think was hurt most this past week? Brady, Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Russell Westbrook, or Steve Bannon? I mean, that guy had the world at his feet. I don't know. I just threw one in there. All right, Martin, out of those guys, you don't have to comment on Bannon.
I think for Brady, I feel like everybody, this is his Washington year. Everybody's like, it was Washington Wizard year. People are going to forget how this all went down. It's all going to be washed away with, oh, he got divorced and his wife fell apart. That's why he couldn't play football anymore. Like Matt Ryan, his legacy doesn't really, I don't know. It's unceremonious when you get cut essentially or get benched like this, but his legacy was kind of right there. Russell Westbrook is a compelling case, but you know, we have the week as a stipulation. If you had said over the last 2 years, I might have said Russell Westbrook, because in the last 2 years, Aaron Rodgers has an MVP and now looks like a very below average quarterback as soon as Davante Adams skips down. So I got to go with Rodgers because I can't remember the last time he's looked this bad, not because I don't think it's happened.
In a way, I would say Rodgers too, because I picked them to win the Super Bowl, the awful pick number 1,000 preseason for Sal, and now they're 3-4 staring at, well, we'll get to playoff odds in a second. Check out of those, who got the hardest hit there?
I feel a little bit sad for Tom, but it's Tom Brady. I guess if you told me, if you could say certainly the Packers are going to be a 500 team and miss the playoffs, well, then it's Rodgers. Because Brady has too much already in the bank, in the football bank, I mean, you know, with the Lombardis and such, for it to ding him too much. But it's gotten ugly now with all the marriage stuff and how, I mean, just flat out how gaunt he looks. He doesn't look good.
I feel bad
for Russell Westbrook. I mean, you can't go home again. The prodigal son always wanted to play for the Lakers, gets to. And he gets booed and he gets
Russell Westbrook opted into $47 million this year. He didn't have to. He could have played anywhere he wanted to in the NBA that would have had him. But he decided to come back and play for the Lakers.
Yeah, it is weird when a couple of those guys are going to be benched. They're actually not going to be playing. And, you know, Matt Ryan is not going to be playing. Russell Westbrook may sit for a while at this point. At least Rodgers and Brady have a shot at it. Shaq, I'm going to go against almost everyone in the country and say it's not that bad for Brady right now. I really don't think it is.
I heard your argument and I'm intrigued by it.
I don't think it's... Listen, here's the thing. He came back to play in the NFC because of what we all saw, right? It's easy to win the NFC, certainly easy to make a long run, right? That's still the case for sure. Did he think he was going to get a bye? Maybe. He's definitely not getting a bye now. They're still a big favorite to win the division at minus 270. The only thing different is the other quarterbacks are Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton as of now, and PJ Walker? So what's he staring at? If they can get it together a little bit, if they could score, if Mike Evans could stop dropping passes, they're in as decent a shape as they were before the season starts. Now, the throwing of the tablets and the wife and the going to Kraft's wedding, that's all embarrassing stuff. But if you could put that to the side and they get it together, it's not that bad for him going forward.
There's nobody, if the Falcons, the plucky Falcons, had won a game or two, and that, you know, you can make an argument that their record could be a little bit better than what it is. Maybe we would have that conversation, but there's nobody who's going to challenge them, including the Saints, in that division. So you're absolutely right. They're going to the magic number. I've said this about the Steelers for a couple of years now. Like, if they can get the 20 consistently, they're definitely going to win double digit games.
Yeah.
That applies to the Bucs too. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Lenny Fournette and the rest of it, they can't get the 20 every week. I know it's bad, but
about 10. Yeah.
Right. Well, and by the way, the thing that won't happen to Brady unless he does it to himself could really happen to Rodgers, as crazy as it sounds, which is that they sit Rodgers down and put Jordan Love in. They're not going to put Blaine Gabbert in. They're not going to do anything. That Brady's not going to get benched. I could see it with Rodgers.
Wow. I don't know if they're ready yet. Well, I do want to look at that for a second.
Mark, Tom Brady is moving like he always has his cheeks bitten. Like he's always biting the inside of his cheeks. Every time I see him, that's all I see. But I just have to push back on the idea that the Bucs are just going to get right. Like, I don't see it.
They just have to get better than the other teams. Like, so they just have to be better than the rest of the division, right? And then as we're going to see weak teams in the playoffs. We are. Spaghetti, plug your ears. But Tampa at home for the Giants is not something that Brady's going to be, discouraged by. I'm sure, right? You know, if he's a 3 or a 4 seed, whatever it is. And then you're going to have to win a road game in Philly. I know this is putting everything way ahead of itself right now. But if you had, I'm looking at these below 500 teams you see making the playoffs. The Bucs are minus 260. I think that's pretty good. The Falcons plus 210, I'd stay away. Commanders plus 600, I'd stay away. The Packers are now a favorite to be out of the playoffs, Martin, at plus 158. Which way do you go on that?
I think the Packers missed the playoffs. I think I'm leaning all the
so
way in.
So crazy.
To Eddie so Spaghetti, like minus 190. Eddie Spaghetti's theory that teams that have been running the ball, because that whole league is playing too high safeties. I mean, it's a great theory. I wish I had heard it somewhere else before.
Oh, but Martin, I'm leaning in.
The Falcons, I think the Falcons are going to win the South. Like I said, it was going to be the Saints.
Nick Chubb is second. The Browns have 2 wins. Nick Chubb's a top 3 running back. Josh Jacobs is a top 3 running back.
It's deeper than being able to run the ball with your running back. When your quarterback is also a threat to run, when your run game is diverse in that way, really the team that's having trouble running the ball like that is two of them. The Cardinals, who, you know, their coach is terrible, and Lamar Jackson. I can't figure that one out.
That's another one. Cardinals check plus 360 to make the playoffs at 3-4. Raiders plus 280.
What am I going to do except look at history? I know I always poo-poo everybody who just rides on what they've already seen and passes it off as insight, but I'm going to do it now. Yeah, I'm going to pick against Aaron Rodgers, who's won the last 2 MVPs, to not turn this thing around. I'm not going to bet on Tom Brady. The GOAT, I don't care what age he is. Well, I do care what age he is. It clearly is a liability at this point, since when anybody gets within 15 feet of him, he falls down on purpose.
Yeah.
Or just chucks it out of bounds. That's not optimal offense. But those are the I know it's not fun. I will say, though, the Commies are starting to be able to run the ball a little bit, and Chase Young is coming back, and Carson Wentz. They're not going to get in because their division is too rugged. But I'm just pointing out.
He always has a game terrible. Like that, Heinicke. Heinicke always has a weird game at home. They beat Tampa last year at home. It was strange. I'm with you on the Packers. The
Steelers, if they would have won one more game, I'd feel fine with making a case that they're going to make a second half run. But 2-5 is just a bridge too far to overcome.
And probably 2-6 as they're a double-digit favorite. But right now, Sheck, they're 15-1. We'll get to your Steelers in a second. Put a bow on this Packers thing. I kind of agree with you. Like, I like the plus 158 for them to make the playoffs. They're 3-4. They're probably going to be 3-5. I mean, they lost 4 games all of last year, and that was like a down year for them. They had 3 losses the previous 2 years. So you can't just say, oh, Aaron Rodgers, because if the Bills beat them, that's 5 losses. Then you got teams like you got the Eagles, you got the Cowboys, you got the Rams, they're at the Dolphins, you got the Vikings. They could go, I don't know, 10-7 is maybe far-fetched for this team. So now you're kind of banking on 9-8 getting you in. I'm not sure about it. I still take the plus number, but I don't love it.
I'll just say one more thing on it before we move on is the NFC, we agree, doesn't have a ton of heavyweights in it, but the NFC East is going to take up 3 playoff slots. That's the only reason I'm not going to get over my skis on the Commies is because of the other 3 teams in that division. But we agree that those 3 teams at this point, how are the Giants going to blow it at this point? They're not going to. They only have to win 4 more games the rest of the way here.
I don't think they blow it. I don't think they blow it. No, I don't think they blow it either.
So that's 2 wild cards right there, plus the division winner. So we're running out of room fast, especially if we like the Vikings to hold on in the North. Now we're talking about really one spot, which is why that Rams-Niners game is humongous now. Mm. Listen, I don't know. That's why I'm down on the Cards, because there's not room for them to get in. And I ultimately like the Niners, with especially now with Christian McCaffrey in there to win out, you know, to win more often than they lose, versus Cliff Kingsbury, who has no track record of putting good second half of seasons together.
Martin,
I bet the Falcons to win the South like 5 minutes ago. I feel confident. Like
this I year?
Did. Yeah,
he
this
said 5 minutes ago. Yeah, it's this year.
I bet the bet for this year about 5 minutes ago.
Really?
The Bucs have been just from Brady's retirement to the wedding to everything, and Saints just can't get right. I had no faith that they were going to win this division. And I actually was talking to Meatballs about this 2 weeks ago. It's like, am I ready to say the Falcons at 1-3 or whatever their record was, maybe are the best team in this division? And it just seems like, I don't know, the Buccaneers seem very broken to me. I know. It was a lot.
This is going to be a terrible when your Saints win the division. You weren't even on it. You had a chance to do it. At least they may have Winston coming back. At least there's
a Dave. I am feeling like I'm picking everybody but the Buccaneers to win the division, because I had the Saints at week two, and now I got the Falcons. So, you know. But the Bucs are not exactly cheap.
I'm riding the wave as well. Like I said, by the way, if you were making that bet 5 minutes ago, you may have missed Eddie Spaghetti's if you can run the ball theory. Maybe he can share that here.
Another bet against the Bucks. So there was it was a picture of Mike Evans signing something for a side judge after the game. Now, let's keep in mind, Mike Evans dropped any of us could have caught him. We'll talk about our decathlon in a second, but any of us could have caught that touchdown right there. And now... So afterwards, they get blown out. He signs something. People are like, is this an autograph? The league says, no, he's not signing an autograph. And now they leak the story to say, they won't say what it is. They ask, okay, if it's not an autograph, what is it? Is he buying Girl Scout cookies for the ref's grandchild? Like, what could it be? The ref was getting Evan's phone number to pass along to a golf pro to give Evan's lessons. They both had gone to Texas A&M or some crap, right? Am I getting that right, Babyface? Am I missing something?
You nailed it correctly. I'm sure the ref was reminded of it because he's had problems with drop balls. But yeah, that's the story that they released.
To me, this is kind of not worse, but it's just as bad, right? It's showing favoritism a little bit, right? Right, Jack?
How you figure?
I don't know. It's like, I went to A&M. You went to A&M. Hey, we're going to talk after the game. And it's all weirdness.
I think it stinks. I think it's a bad look. But Devils Damashek also hates and has hated for many moons now that the combatants play grab ass immediately after the game and get into a prayer circle and or swap jerseys with each other. So it's kind of the same thing, right?
Martin, you're okay with this? No, because the officials are involved. It's just weird.
Like all bets are off when you're allowed to, you know, play grab ass like that. I guess those two things are unrelated.
But I think that Dave's greater point that everybody here knows each other is something that we I think we forget about that.
Take it for granted. Yeah.
Yeah. We take it for granted. Like, I don't know Mike Evans and Jeff Lamberth's relationship, but I imagine that they have at least any of their officials' relationships.
They have two kids together. I'm reading they have two kids together.
Remember, we had Mitchell Schwartz on the show, and I asked him about Bill Vinovich, and he's like, oh, I like Bill, because they know each other. You know what I'm saying? They all play against each other and all work with each other in that way. And so, watching the video, on first glance, I was like, all right, I see where everybody has a problem with this because it looks like he's signing something. But then when you think about all the other instances of, just 2 weeks ago, Devontae Adams shoved a dude who was in that same tunnel area. Mike Evans looks like nothing out of the ordinary is occurring. None of the referees look like nothing out of the ordinary is occurring. So if that guy was like, hey, Mike, let me get your autograph, I feel like we would have seen more things going on around it.
Maybe I'm overreacting.
Happen on camera. Why don't you already have each other's phone?
Yeah, up? Right. It's dumb. No, it's dumb to the ref.
Yeah. I think I definitely think it's bad. Back to that they know each other and have an existing relationship. I mean, you know, watching Big East basketball growing up, John Thompson plainly could intimidate certain refs, and when you would see My, that was a big one for my old man. Like who? Mm-hmm. Well, when the refs would run out onto the floor for a Big East game, be like, oh, look at these guys. You know, I mean, I know that that's homerism for my old man, but there was something to that. And then on the other side of things, watching Big Ten basketball as an Indiana Hoosiers fan, Bob Knight clearly would like, there were certain refs you would know he was going to work over. But
oh, good. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, yeah, they know each other. They didn't just magically appear 2 minutes before the game.
Right.
Yeah. How is this not an Instagram DM? That's what I wanted. That's my right. How are you not DMing me your phone number, bro? How I gotta get it on?
Well,
a piece
these
of paper,
refs like, are old, and they're like they're I don't know. They old people. They need stuff written down. They need stuff. Oh, I got six things to do when I get to this game. I need to talk to Mike about his number and the golf pro. It's just all so stupid and could have been handled differently. And I know this guy will get reprimanded for sure. But not a good look.
Funny, and, you know, hockey linesmen and referees are some percentage of them are failed hockey players, and then they're just like, yeah, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be a referee instead. How come like Johnny Football doesn't become a referee?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't have it.
It would
him.
Be bad. Nobody would like it because people would step in and be like, well, you can't let him do that. He has friends. He's going to favor his friends out there.
Different kind of all ego. Right, you know, I don't know. Mark, you're always getting phone numbers. Yeah, go ahead.
I was about to say, yeah, Babyface just messaged me and told me to take a second look at this video, right? And so I did just now. And I'm buying. People are saying that he wrote it too fast to be a real phone number. And like he was just like writing it. I could see the thing that would make me have question about it being a phone number is... So the side judge is the guy who hands him the card initially, right?
Good. That's legit.
Okay. Side judge hands me the card. I'm still here with the phone number vibe, right? The side judge asks, hey, Mike, let me get your number. I got a guy who gets you get your swing straight. Okay. Then right. The line judge comes from around. He's like, comes from back around Mike Evans, would have been pass interference if the ball was in the air, and takes the card out of his hand, flips it over, to which then Mike writes on it and signs something else or continues to write or does something. But the idea what that the line hell? Judge was like, wait a minute, write your phone number on the other side of the page is putting my tinfoil cap back on.
I don't know what's going on here. Now I'm watching too. I mean, and the best thing will be if Evans gave him a fake number, right? If it was like 555-3434, you know, like a movie number. That's
I wish I had the video, since we're going
to
break these things down Zapruder style. I wish we had the video of the story I've told you before when I offered Ed Hockley $1 to make sure that the home team had a good game.
And I love that.
It created great tumult for at least 20 minutes. I was sure I was getting fired. So
no wonder Dave has such a problem
with this. This is definitely a much worse look.
You've tried to do it before. You've seen what can happen. Who knew Ed Hockley was so cheap?
I wonder if this guy will get suspended. I don't know. Yeah, they have no tolerance for stuff like this. All right. Speaking of no tolerance, it came up on -3 yesterday. I listened back. Sheck had Megan Connolly on, and Sheck's been wanting to do this decathlon, this extra points decathlon for years. The problem is we all live in so many different states. I don't know why we don't just have one state. I've said this for a long time, but anyway, we got to get everyone together for this. But then Sheck said something. He said he would win a distance contest for throwing a football amongst all extra points staff members. And then Spaghetti immediately cuts him off and says, I could throw 60 yards from my knee. And so that was two ridiculous statements back to back. Sheck, I'll let you defend yourself.
Can you? I mean, let's start right there. Can you throw a ball further than me, Sal?
I think I can. I think football. Not that. I don't think I was blessed with that much more athletic skill than you or at all in the throwing department. I throw a lot with the kids. I probably throw, I thought about this, 20 passes a day on average, because sometimes it's 100, but I think I throw like 7,000 passes a year to the kids.
I'm no stranger to the backyard football throwing. What do you think I've been doing with myself?
I'm just saying I'm loose. So 7,000. And sometimes we go to the beach and do it for distance. So, I mean, what number? If I have to put a number on you, I'd say 34 and a half yards.
Well, way back when, obviously you remember this, Sal, you and the half man, half ape that we know, Ray, foolishly bet me. He got a, you know, he went too far. Is he a better athlete than me? I don't think anyone was questioning that. But he said, you're such a bad athlete, I can throw a ball further, a football further behind my back than you can regular style.
Was it behind his back or with his offhand?
No, no, it was behind his back. It was it was Sonny Jurgensen behind his back style.
Right. Okay.
And this was in the back lot at Jimmy Kimmel Live one night.
Right.
It's my birthday, as a matter of fact. And we were having some belts post show one night. And Kimmel caught wind of that Ray is going to try to throw a football further behind his back than Damashek can regular style. And then Jimmy said, go get the cameras. And he dispatched
an E&G crew
down to the back lot to cover this. And then the stakes were laid out. The loser gets a perm and dyed in the color of the winner's choosing.
Right.
Now I was nervous because this would be a humiliation. There's no winning this. If a grown man loses this, you know, there's no coming back from it. And then Ray, as I say, high-end athlete, million-dollar body, 10-cent head. threw the ball behind his back, and I got the vapors real bad. I got a cold chill down my spine. I thought, I'm going to lose this. And there's a camera here now.
No, it didn't go 20 yards, though, right? Behind his back?
It was at night, and I was already scared. So it played out like a dark reality. And then I uncorked it, and as soon as I threw, I was like, oh, okay, all right, I'm fine.
Okay, all right.
And I survived, and then he had to get a red, white, and blue perm and show it on national TV.
It.
And so he was humiliated.
Great. But now we are about 17 years later from that. You're probably not going to throw as far.
17 minutes later from the start of that story.
Oh, wow.
That's a good story, you creep.
Anyway, Spaghetti, defend yourself about the 60 yards from me.
35, 40 yards. I'm not getting crazy. I bet you now, at my best, I think I could get to like, I remember doing that in high school. I could get to 40, 41-ish, I remember.
I have you at 34 and a half. 36. I think that's fair. I have you at 34 and a half. But Spaghetti,
get over that, maybe.
For you to jump on him and say 60 from your knee, come on, don't do
that. I didn't say 60. I did not say 60, Sal. No, I did not. I said I get hit in your midfield from my knee. Sal, I'll tell you exactly what I would do when I was.
You can tell me whatever you did, but I can tell you what you said when I listened to 20 minutes ago. You could say whatever. We'll let it back. I could throw 60 from my knee.
That's not even the thing I care about. I just care about that Dave casually thinks that he can throw the ball further than anyone. I'm just telling you know when like Dak does that very strange thing on the field where he swivels his hips. Like when I was younger and I would do that. I would do the hip swivel thing, but on my right knee on the ground, my left knee up, and then I would do the hip swing and I would chuck it and it would get near midfield. So that is that. But I don't care about that. I probably can't do that anymore because I'm 10 years older than last time I tried that. Dave, who complained yesterday about sitting in his chair, getting out of his chair, thinks that he could just beat me in a throwing contest is so infuriating. And I don't care. There's idiots online. There are idiots online who is like, oh, Eddie's insecure. It's like, first of all, I don't make these claims. I'm just pushing back on an absurd claim of a guy that's like, I've seen Dave hobble like through the halls of the NFL with his back like so messed up. And he's like, yeah, I could beat him in a throwing contest. It is infuriating.
Spaghetti, infuriating is that I want to make this the breakout and we can't see your face. That's infuriating to me. So come on. Let's see a picture of you. There you go.
Here's the thing. Look at him. He proves my point by appearing in his tank top. He and his pal, Mikey Meatball.
Peloton later.
They're both prisoners of their muscles. They traded their range of motion so that they look good at the beach. Guess what? The bill comes due when we throw the football against each other.
All right. I'm going to say this, Spaghetti, and I'm going to defend you here. Shaq, if there's 15 of us, I think I counted on Extra Points Podcast Network. I think you finish over 12 and a half in the I think you could beat one of the Megans and I don't know who else. Babyface, maybe baby. Why? Who else you beat? You're beating Mikey Meatballs. You're beating Darren, Parlay Kid, who were both quarterbacks in high school. You're beating Brian.
I didn't think it through who the competition was. Okay. Obviously, you have high school quarterbacks.
I don't think you'll have a shot against former professional football player Will Blackman.
Will Blackman?
Sure. I don't know.
I've never seen Will Blackman throw a ball.
What a crazy person.
I'll tell you what. You ever stand around on the in the pregame when the guys are having a catch with each other? Yeah. It's stunning how some of them throw the ball. And I don't mean that in a positive way. It's like, the hell? You're a football player and you can't throw a football? That seems like that should be the minimum standard. So I don't know if
the reason why it's stunning about how they throw the football, the reason why is because of where you are. You're at a football game. When you go to the beach and you see people throwing a football, nobody's like, oh my God, that guy can't throw it at all. Because you're at the beach. There's no expectation that somebody's going to be able to throw a football. That's the whole difference.
Yeah.
I get it, Dave. You have a great arm for low expectations.
I get the context, but I'm talking about the throwing motion. Some of them look like they've never thrown a ball. They've been catching it their entire lives. Then nobody ever thought like, hey, just in case, and we need it, you should be able to throw it back to me. And some of you throw them, they really look like, kind of throw like, what the hell? You're in the NFL, man.
I have you at 33 and a half yards, and if there's 15 of us, where do you think you place?
33 and a half.
What do you think? Where do you think you place out of 15? You said one.
Am I being misogynistic to say I would beat Megan, Jen, and Megan?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I mean, I would.
Think so. I don't think you'd beat Peter Chempy. Go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard little to zero evidence that Mikey Meatballs' athletic ability translates into him being a good thrower. Throwing is a specific thing. I can throw a ball accurately. Doesn't mean I'm fast. Meatballs
was the quarterback. Was he also a catcher?
Oh, he was. All right. I didn't know Meatballs was a QB. Okay.
Those are two.
So he's got me.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't know. What do I know about him, Meatballs?
Right, maybe I changed.
I knew he was a world class wrestler.
I'm going to say 10 and a half. I'll say 10 and a half out of the 15.
You stink. Now my only goal is to beat you. That's it. I don't care about anything else.
Now, here's the other thing with Spaghetti. And he said, so this started a whole thing. And he said, getting tagged all day on Twitter is tiring. But he can't just sit back and let you make insane claims. It's interesting.
What's the insane? By the way, Harry is a big one. I would beat him or no, Sal?
You should know better than that. You should probably maybe beat him. I don't know. He throws his ass into it. No, who knows?
He's also in a cage of muscle.
Right. I would just like to take this moment to point out that Eddie Spaghetti, what it seems like to me, what we have here is Eddie saw Dave say something completely ridiculous. Dave said, what do you mean it's completely ridiculous? And then Eddie continued to argue with it until, but right here, we just went down and broke it down how ridiculous it would actually be to the point where you agreed with it. But Dave, you'll never agree with Eddie and you'll never give him that. Eddie has to respond to people that have 5 Twitter followers and great profile circles that say Dave Damashek can throw a ball way better than you because he's a Yinz.
That's not how the conversation was presented.
Eddie's not in an agreement right now.
By the time it reached the public space, the conversation was not, can Dave throw the ball further than anybody else? The conversation was, can Spaghetti throw it 60 yards from one?
That's bearing the lead and moving off the matter at hand. Exactly. You said it matter-of-factly to Megan and myself. You're like, oh, on this podcast, I could definitely throw further than anyone, probably everyone at EP. To me, it's just simply not true. Like, my dad was making me do football drills in the cradle. I've been doing football activities since before I can remember. Like, I can throw the ball. Like, I don't care about my size. Like, I could still chug a football. Like, it doesn't matter. You complain about injuries daily. It's just, I know for a fact what I could do.
I'm a gamer. That's what I do. I'm like Lemieux. I overcome my devastating injuries to still shine. That's the thing.
There is one of the things that he was complaining about getting tagged. One Twitter, Marty Ward is his name. Another Marty says, if the ball was powered by insecurity, I think Spaghetti could throw 75 plus.
He's on Dave's sack because it's probably Dave's burner. It's like I'm tired of people like that or like the worst. Like, oh, Dave is my god. It's like, no, I'm going to push back on dumb claims. That was a dumb claim. Sorry.
This is Ray saying I can throw a ball further than you behind my back. I didn't bring up who can throw it off their knee and the superhuman yardage.
My point is that I feel so confident in myself, I would put myself at a disadvantage that I could still beat you. That's my point.
Right. Hey. Everyone went a little too far. Now, Spaghetti, let me say, now that this is a thing, you could have let it go and we would not have spoken about it. Are you glad you spoke up? because now this is going to be.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to back down. I mean, it's like already. I've already been tagged. Like, I also proved. I tagged like 10 people who have seen me do like throw the football, and they're all like, "Yeah, Eddie can throw the football." Right. Like, I wouldn't put myself out there if I did not believe in what I've done. Right. So it's like, okay. I don't care what Marty Ward says. Like, Twitter loser.
Martin Ward.
I just on the topic of like Twitter trolls. Like, it's this guy who tweets me every Sunday about how Harry has not yet passed me in the picks, you know, right. Like, I mean, it's just, I'll say this, you degenerate trifecta and the Dave Damashek's of the world. You guys really bring out a whole interesting category of people on the Twitter timeline.
Thank you. I don't know.
I've been in this ecosystem now for a while now, I'm getting a little comfortable.
You guys inspire boring followers. Is that the opposite? What am I going for here?
I'm not sure. All
right, Spaghetti's just, obviously, you know, upset.
It is a landmine out there every so often in the mentions.
Spaghetti, 15. I think there's 15 of us. Where does Sheck end up?
He's higher than what you said. I've seen Dave throw. He can throw. He's just not going to beat me in a throwing contest. I think Dave is definitely on the higher end.
That's all
end.
I ever wanted was your respect.
But I also
the
know
the top the, seven. Then you're saying,
the entire Sicoli family. I feel like all they do is play sports. Like, they're all going to be good.
That's easy. Yeah.
And Will, I'm not sure. I mean, Dave was right. Some professional athletes, like, they cannot do certain things. I have not seen Will throw. My guess is Will could throw. So Will's probably up there. I know Martin plays like basketball and sports. I figured Martin could throw a football. I think we have a lot of good candidates in here.
Martin,
say this. Yeah. Here's the big thing is for basic, how far can you throw a ball and hard and all that kind of stuff. Did you play youth baseball? Did you, Marty?
No.
Did you play Little League?
I didn't play.
I could beat Marty.
Why? Because you could chuck a ball across the diamond 40 years ago.
If Marty started and scored a lot at 10 and 11 years old.
You're saying at 33, I'm 33 years old now. At no point would I have ever learned to throw a ball or knew how to throw a ball at that point and just didn't play baseball because it's 100 degrees in Louisiana.
I'm not questioning whether or not you could successfully advance a ball from your hand forward. I'm asking, could you do it with any amount of accuracy, pace,
Youth football. Would youth football help? Because I played a whole ton of football growing up. I didn't play any baseball. That would help. Playing football in Louisiana.
That would help. Babyface, jump in here. What do you have? We got to handicap this somehow.
I'd be babyface.
Well, I was going to say that Dave held his own when Eddie shot the apples. We're forgetting that we might be underestimating Dave.
right, okay. You can take an apple to the draw. Yeah.
But no, Dave has a lot of confidence here. Thankfully, this bet doesn't involve $3.
He does owe Martin $3, all right. You should double or nothing.
Honestly, my takeaway is that this might be the only time Jada ever sees Eddie get on one knee. It's really my big takeaway.
Wow. That's unnecessary.
Of course,
too.
I'm going with Eddie. Of course.
Okay. All right. Well, no, I think he's going to have to go against everybody here. We may have to fly everybody out. Mikey Meatballs, wow, he really questioned your athleticism. I mean, because people lift weights doesn't mean their arms are dead for any other activity.
Not dead, you but that, that doesn't, I mean, I as you can perhaps tell, I'm not jacked. So I don't know, but that's isn't that the thing that once you have big muscles, your range of motion goes away and you can't really, you know, whip it. Don't you need dexterity?
I guess NFL quarterbacks don't lift weights.
I bet.
Tom Brady jacked up.
I think the Hemsworth brothers could probably throw further than you. Meatballs, what do you say? And then we can move on from this. Anything?
Think I could probably throw it between 50 and 60.
Wow. That's
from
good.
Your knee?
Not from my knee, but 50 and 60. I think if you gave me some, you know, if I had some weeks to train, maybe get to 70.
You have some weeks to train. We're going to do 70. This. We're going to figure this out. Wow.
I'll tell you this. NFL QBs, some of them can't throw at 70. At 60, 65. So that's
Spaghetti,
a big time.
I think you beat Dave. I'm sorry. Maybe you misspoke or it was the heat of the moment, but you did say 60 from your knee. And if you were... Believe me, if you could throw 60 from your knee, you wouldn't be editing Martin's Monday picks for us. That's for sure. You'd be back in it. So, but anyway, we're going to do this. We're going to figure it out and we're going to take a break and come back with college football stuff.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, not much going on college, but didn't shake it up. What about, I can't even remember. The Syracuse lost to Clemson. Not a lot to shake up the rankings there, but the playoff odds, we're looking at that fourth team, right? It seems like it's going to be Ohio State. It seems like it's going to be Georgia. What else am I missing? Clemson at minus 160 to make it. Alabama at plus 140, a plus to make it. Michigan plus 160 to make it. Oregon 10 to 1 to make it. Check out of those, what's your best?
Well, wait, I just want to make sure you're saying Tennessee and Georgia are definitely in, right? Or is that your assumption?
I'm just
here?
Saying I'm not saying definitely, obviously stuff could happen. I'm just looking right at the fringe ones here, which are like projected to be four or five, I would say.
Boy, yeah. It would have been nice if Clemson, if the Cuse could have held on there, and then you really would have a juicy second half of the college football season in the chase for that, because Bama is certainly no lock at this point. You know, I'm going to go with Michigan, because if Michigan can continue to if they can get to, and same goes for Ohio State, obviously, but if the only loss that either one takes is against each other, then I think you put both of them into the
interesting
final four. Okay. Bama's, it just is going to be unsatisfying to the rest of the country, obviously. We think it's bad when the SEC gets two teams in annually. What if the SEC and Big Ten then combine to put a hammer lock on things?
You're
and
gonna
no
hate
one gets
that.
In, including Clemson.
They're going to have four.
I am going to hate it.
Clemson, though, got kind of lucky, right? They're going to,
absolutely.
They may run the table. Their over-under, Martin, is 11.5, and they went against NC State without their quarterback, you know, so they've kind of been lucky. They turned it over four times to Syracuse's one. It became a game, but Syracuse had nothing in that second half. Who do you like out of those four? You going with your Wolverines?
Yeah, I've seen Clemson. My radio show on Saturday lines up right with Clemson's window the last 3 weeks, and that team is not impressive.
Right.
Like, just I've been watching them pretty much start to finish. That team is not impressive to me at all. And then Alabama, I feel like, has too many more challenges. Like, if they went out, I feel like they'd be in, but I have a feeling that they might lose, especially when you see the way they played A&M and then obviously Tennessee. Michigan just has to beat Michigan State and Ohio State,
yeah,
and then everything else should kind of fall into place.
Michigan is, I looked ahead at it, a 10-point underdog to Ohio State. It's going to be on the road. But you're right, they could be the best one-loss team. Spaghetti, I was looking at what you said with Oregon. If they run the table and end up a one-loss team, I just don't think... I think that's the one thing the committee is going to stay away from, because they already lost 49-3 in Georgia. So what do you gain by putting Oregon in as a four seed against Georgia if they're number one, or even worse, to have them meet in the finals after 49-3, right?
Well, I know they're one game. I mean, it was a road game for Oregon, right? It was played in Atlanta, that game. So, yeah. I mean, if they play on a neutral site, that's one thing that changes. But I don't think you could like not include that Oregon team just because they lost to Georgia, and Georgia's already in the playoff. Like, you have to just go based on Oregon's resume. And if they do beat, Utah and the rest of their schedule and SC in the title game, like, they deserve it if there are enough teams with one loss. Now, if Tennessee and Georgia are undefeated, and then you'll have either Michigan or Ohio State, then it gets a little bit tougher for them. But I do think there is a path for Michigan or for an Oregon. And I wouldn't be shocked if Oregon's in the running in the end.
Or spaghetti. See, he's applying SEC logic. Only SEC teams benefit from the logic. Like, well, they lost to him once, but so what? We know they're still good. Oregon and no other team outside the SEC gets that sort of favoritism. No, people will point to and say, Georgia housed them once. Why would we put them in there? That'll be a waste of our time.
I know, but they'll 49-3. 49-27, it might be different.
49-3.
They'll put a mediocre one loss. But they'll put a mediocre one-loss Clemson team in there, I bet you, before they put Oregon in there, based on what I just said. They'll look at say, come on, we already see what the Ducks are. You put them in on stage with the big boy like that, they get hammered.
I don't agree with that. I think if they lost, if that was an Alabama game instead of a Georgia game, like, I don't think that matters. It's all about the resume, what they've done. Also, this is college football where they basically say losses in September don't mean as much as losses in end of November. So I just feel like they have to have a lot of things go right. A lot of it means other teams have to lose, but I don't think that should be held against them. They got blown out in week one versus Georgia, basically in a game in Georgia.
Well, Clemson, you say one loss Clemson. So who are they losing to? Notre Dame? That's because that's going to be their closest game the rest of the way. They're home for Louisville. They're home for Miami, who's, you can't count on them scoring every week, and home for South Carolina. Barely ranked.
They shouldn't lose. The only game that they might lose is in the ACC title game, and then that gets murky. If you lose that, that's what drives me crazy. If we're going to play these conference title games, you can't lose it and then still go to the thing. Like, eliminate them. I know it's unfair. Yeah. Put together a great regular season and go undefeated, but if you lose in the title game that exists and you know it's going to be played, if you lose that game, maybe I can make an exception if you are like a runaway number one seed in the NFL and you put your backup QB in there because the game doesn't matter in the last week of the regular season. Maybe I can allow for that. But if you're trying in the title game and you lose it, you don't get as a gift, as a consolation prize, one of the four slots.
I don't know. I mean, some conferences are just stacked. I think you do have to give like an Alabama a second chance. I really do. You don't have to give Clemson a second chance. You don't have to give NC State or Wake Forest a second chance, maybe.
Well, then whoever loses the Bills-Chiefs game gets to play again the next week in the playoffs. If that's the standard, like,
they don't matter in the NFL. So that's silly to say.
It's different. It'll matter less when there's eight teams or 12 teams, whatever we're doing in a couple of years. Now, as far as Harry and Hendon Hooker, 2-1 now to win the Heisman. 2-1. And Stroud still favored, but barely at -105. Martin, I'm a Stroud guy. I think that'll be up to -250 by the time they get to the Michigan game. And Hooker would have to beat Kentucky and Georgia, I think, to keep that rolling.
That's what I was thinking. I like Hooker just ultimately because of what you just said. Like, you'll have more quote like moments, I feel like, to have like Heisman moments, more opportunities rather, where CJ's is pretty much going to be against Michigan. But I think if you think Ohio State wins this game, that's, I think, is your bet, is CJ Stroud for Heisman at even odds instead of trying to lay 10 or play it on the money line. Because if they went out and beat Michigan, he's going to get that. So I think it all comes down to the game.
He'll have slow starts and still end up with monster numbers, right? Threw a pick six a few weeks ago and then like four touchdowns later. It's like, wow, that's a good stat line right there. And Hooker, I don't know though. Do you think he has to beat both those teams? Because then it's just the point is to take Tennessee on the money line against Kentucky and parlay it with Tennessee on the money line against Georgia if that's his only path to, and I think it is, to winning the Heisman.
I just don't think he can have a lousy game against Georgia. That's the best defense he's going to play, so he better show up. It doesn't matter even if they win or lose the game, as far as I'm concerned. If he puts up a big day personally, he maybe gets the Heisman unless Stroud runs the table, to Marty's point. Mm. But a juiced-up option for you is, I think Georgia, just kind of assessing where the SEC flow and that you're just not going to run the table, somebody's going to get you along the way there. Stetson Bennett at 40-1. When that happens, if he has a big game, why is he buried way down there? I know Bryce Young is the better talent, but that's not the conversation here. Stetson Bennett and people, whether you're only supposed to look at this season, that you can tell that some voters kind of skew and like, yeah, but the body of work over the last 2 years, this is a great story. We like this kid. He's the national champion. He doesn't lose games. I could see some votes going in his direction.
Interesting. Well, I think if Georgia wins, it's always because of their defense, right? I think that's the narrative, at least. But you're right. He should get more consideration. All right, let's do our picks of the day. Yes, Suns -1.5. It was 2.5 over the Warriors. It's in Phoenix. Warriors had another ridiculous game the other night. 89 in the first half versus Sacramento. Then they slowed down. They scored 40-something. Booker on the Suns. I think both teams are 2-1. Booker at 35 the other night. I think this is one of those games that Chris Paul gets up for. Great matchup between a team who is about to shatter the record for possessions per game. That's the Warriors. And then another who's playing solid defense. You can't score on the Suns in the paint, which is usually what Warriors don't do anyway, but they also guard the perimeter pretty well. The Suns are a top five team in that regard. Golden State 3-6 against the spread in the last 9 road games. I think Suns and Booker exploit some defensive holes. 121-113. Suns -1.5. Martin, what do you like?
I'm taking the Wizards, 5.5. I think Bradley Beal also has a huge game. The Pistons have not been good so far to start this season, even though they kind of had a resurgence to end it last year. And the backcourt of Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham is still trying to figure out how to get that defense together. So I expect Brad Beal to have a big game and Washington to cover the 5.5 or 6. I think it's 5.5 now. And I also like the over there, but officially Washington,
all right,
Wizards -5.5.
Shaq, you know, hockey season started.
I was just going to say, all this NBA talk. Don't you know what's going on? That's the puck has been dropped, fellas. Let's pay attention to that. Let's keep our eye on the ball or the puck. I'd love to do something with the game going on in Alberta. There was one on Monday night in Edmonton. Now there's one in Calgary, the common factor there. The face of the game, Kid Crosby. His team looked good in the first period. Then they forgot that there was going to be a second period, and the Oilers turned it on and gassed them, but good. I'd love to take the Flames and lay the 1.5 there. I'm not going to do that for spiritual reasons. Instead, I'm going to go to MSG. Two great games, by the way. Two legit matchups of teams that could be factors come late spring here in 2023. I know at least Mikey Meatballs agrees with that, if not Eddie Spaghetti. I'll talk about Spaghetti's team, the Rags, hosting the Avs. I don't know about picking a winner here. I'm just going to go with, talk about spirit of the game. Big goals, lots of stars on both sides, over 6.5, plus 105, some juice next to it. Enjoy the game. That's the point. You don't have to have a rooting interest except for goals, goals, and more goals.
There you go. Lots going on. Basketball, hockey. We'll get back into football Thursday. We'll also give our World Series picks on Thursday. I'm sitting on a Houston Astros World Series ticket. That was my preseason pick, 10-1, and I'm not hedging. So, Martin, you know what to do there. that never works out. Martin is on Lemon Pepper Parlay with Will Blackman tomorrow, -3. Check out Sheck and Hench against all odds. Waiver Wired with Eddie and Jen. Megan Fun of Sports is a fun episode. And tonight, Mr. Lister, me against Harry. Here we go. Here we go. Spotify Live. We should play for something. Harry should play.
7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. It will live for eternity. Yes, we do it live, but then we save it as a podcast so that you can go back and listen to it. Never mind that part. Cut it out. It's live or nothing at all. Be there or be square, category-based sports trivia. Sal, Harry, nowhere to hide, except on one knee. You can try it from there, Sal.
Oswego State Sal graduates.
Plays it from one knee.
Yeah, one knee. Al Roker, what do we do? What's the category? Man, all right. Well, as long as the category is not weed sodas, I think I'm going to be okay.
Really like my chance. How many Oswego football players can throw the football farther than Dave?
Football. We had rugby. That was it. All right, there you go. Mr. Lister tonight. Check it out. A reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.